Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of four episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
Three weeks ago, a police officer walked into a hospital in Owosso, Oklahoma, and kept his body cam rolling.
Hey, stranger.
Hey, Mr. Thompson.
This cop was there to figure out why a 16-year-old kid named Nex Benedict was lying in intake, complaining about head pain.
So what happened today?
I got jumped.
Tell me about it. What happened?
Nex tells the officer, I just got jumped. The way Nex tells it, it went down like this. Some kids didn't like the way Nex dressed, didn't like the way Nex laughed, and they wouldn't quit. So Nex emptied a water bottle on their heads. That's when these other kids got violent.
Whatever it was. Okay. Then at that point, what happened?
They came at me, they grabbed onto my hair, I grabbed onto them. I threw one of them into a paper towel dispenser, and then they got my legs out from under me and got me on the ground, started beating the shit out of me.
Okay.
And then my friends tried to jump in.
Nex identifies as trans, uses he and they pronouns, but his family is still adjusting to all that. His mom, who's sitting in the room with him, addresses him as she. The cop does too. But it's all friendly. It almost seems too friendly. Nex and his mom don't seem to expect much from this encounter. The cop openly discourages the family from pressing charges against anyone. To NBC's Joe Yorkeba, the really telling moment comes when this police officer asks, when you felt bullied, did you tell an adult what was going on?
When this first started happening, whatever this is going on, this banter back and forth between you and the other individuals, did you at any point contact any school administration? Did you let any of them know at any point in time?
No.
Okay. And I'm just asking, there's no right or wrong, but why not?
The officer also asks, you know, if they had been picking on you, why didn't you report this to the school? Did you report it at any point? And Nex says no, and he didn't do that because he didn't think there was a point. There's sort of this feeling that, you know, there's not really a lot of faith, I think, from Nex in sort of this process.
When he's finished taking their statements, the officer says his goodbyes cheerfully. He works at Nex's school, so he's like, I'll see you later.
Good luck to you. I'll see you around.
Nex is a little funny here. He says, hopefully not.
Hopefully not, she said.
Well, not in a bad way. I mean, hopefully I see you around school and class and wandering the halls and all that good stuff.
Yes,
you can smile and wave and say, hey, Thompson, and you know, all that good stuff. So,
but this officer, he'd never see Nex again because Nex died the next day.
Local LGBTQ community organizations are mourning the loss of a non-binary teen in Oklahoma.
This has gone national. Police say Nex Benedict died a day after a fight at Owosso High School. 5 News reporter Jose Carranza.
We still don't know exactly how Nex died. Was Nex fatally injured in this school fight? A full report isn't expected for weeks.
Really, what I think will make a huge difference in this investigation is when the full medical examiner's report comes out and the toxicology results.
Yeah. To the community you've been speaking with, do those results matter? Or is there something, I just wonder if for them, the fact that Nex died after this interaction at school is powerful no matter how Nex actually passed away.
Yeah, that's exactly it. At the end of the day, you know, their friend is dead, and they told me they They keep expecting to see Nex in art class, even though they were at Nex's funeral and saw him be lowered into the ground.
Today on the show, what happened to Nex Benedict? I'm Mary Harris. You're listening to What Next? Stick around. This episode is brought to you by Discover. When it comes to your finances, Discover wants you to know they are the credit card that is always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We are talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights. Gay rights now! Gay rights! With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queens say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.
I want to introduce my listeners to Nex Benedict, but before we really get into it, I want to get on the same page about what pronouns we should be using for Nex. Because in newspapers, I've seen they, them pronouns. In videos from before Nex died, Nex's mom refers to Nex using she, her pronouns, which since she said, you know, I was in a process of learning, and so I wasn't using the pronouns Nex preferred. And now I know that you're using he, him pronouns. So tell me about how we should be talking about Nex.
Yeah, so this has been a very delicate line to walk in that I, you know, we want to make sure that we're being respectful of who someone was as a person. At the same time, we don't want to reduce them to a set of pronouns or to one part of their identity. And initially, what we knew was that Nex, some people said Nex identified as non-binary. Like you said, the family went from using she, her pronouns to they, them pronouns. But since I've been here and I've talked to a number of people who are really close with Nex, they have all told me that Nex primarily used he, him pronouns and preferred that. And sometimes, you know, Nex would say he used he, they pronouns. And so either pronoun would be fine. But at the same time, during the vigil, Robin Gray Ingersoll, who dated Nex on and off, said, you know, Nex uses he, him pronouns, he was transgender, and he was so much more than his transness.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it just highlights the fact that how fluid these identifiers can be for all of us, and then how much Nex was learning about themselves. Nex was a teenager. Nex was not fully an adult yet. And so, you know, they were coming into their own.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Next was probably still figuring it out. It's also common, you know, I primarily report on the trans community, and it's really common among the trans community to use pronouns with certain people in your life, but not with other people. So for example, at school, you use one set of pronouns, use a different set at home, or you might not be out at home. And so that kind of fluidity is just kind of normal.
Yeah. I know you went to a vigil over the weekend to honor Nex. Can you just set the scene for me of what that was like and who you met there and what they told you about Nex?
Sure. So that was on Sunday night in Owosso at the Redbud Festival Park. And there were, I would say, at least 100 people there. Some people had driven from a few hours away. I know that there were people from as far as Wisconsin there. Everyone was holding candles, sort of candlelight was the main way that the crowd was lit. There were students who were visibly distraught. And there were a number of speakers. So Robin Gray Ingersoll spoke, and a teacher that Nex had called Tyler Wren in eighth grade spoke and shared really powerful stories about Nex. For example, he said that one of his favorite memories of Nex was every day at the end of the day, Tyler would have bus duty and he would go outside and Nex from across the campus would yell, "I'm going to fight you," and would challenge him to a fight over what he described to me as cartoonishly absurd things. So one time it was, "I'm going to fight you," and winner gets to take Tyler's Mustang, Ford Mustang. And the next day it would be, "I'm going to fight you. And next year, if I win, I get to transfer into your class." And so Nex just had what he described as a fiery spirit. This was a kid who, if he saw his friends being bullied, he was going to stick up for them. He didn't back down.
That strong sense of self didn't mean things were easy, though. Nex lived with his grandmother, Sue Benedict. Nex called her mom. Sue said Nex was bullied for months before his death. Talking to other LGBTQ kids in Owosso, Joe heard similar stories.
Nex's friends did tell me that they were called the F slur. And then they also told me that the N word is just used casually, constantly within their school. And there are no repercussions. The teachers kind of try to ignore it. And so the picture they've kind of painted is that if you're not white and cis, there are just kind of always these underhanded comments being made, or you're facing direct bullying, which doesn't make them feel like if they reported anything that there would actually be repercussions.
So tell me exactly what we know about what happened on February 7th, the day before Nex died.
Yeah. So on February 7th, Nex was in ISP is what the students call it, which is basically in-school suspension because he had been caught with a vape pen. We know from police video and accounts and the school's account that Nex, their friend and three other students, at least there may have been other students there as well, went into a bathroom of the West Campus. And that's where, you know, Nex told police that he threw water on these three girls after they made a comment about the way that he and his friend dressed. He also said that before being an ISP, he'd never met these three girls before. And they had sort of been teasing him like on and off. So in the bathroom, they make this comment. He throws water on them. And then he said the three of them jumped him.
The police released security camera footage from inside the school that day. You can't see the fight itself, but you can see the moments before and after.
We see the students in the video come out of the bathroom. There's also video of Nex being walked down the hallway by a school resource officer where you kind of see him like sway at one point. Then you see the video in the hospital. And then Nex went home. And then from 911 call from the following day, we know that Sue said that Nex's eyes were rolling in the back of his head and his breathing was shallow and his hands were posturing, which sort of is an involuntary muscle contraction, which can signify a variety of things, but mostly some kind of brain-related problem.
Okay, my daughter, on? I don't know what's going around wrong. She's posturing and her hands
How
are
old
in.
Is
and
she?
She is 16.
Okay.
She fell at school, or she got beat up at school yesterday. I took her to the hospital.
And you hear in the 911 call when the ambulance arrives, and then she gets off the phone. But we know when they took Nex to the hospital, he was pronounced dead. But yeah, it's we have this timeline sort of connecting everything, but what exactly happened in the bathroom is what's missing. And now we're waiting on, you know, what exactly really contributed to Nex's death? What was his cause of death?
Yeah. At this point, what are the police saying about Nex's death? Like, they've released a preliminary autopsy, right?
Yeah, so they released what they called preliminary, like, information from an autopsy. And this is relatively rare in cases like this. Usually you wait until the medical examiner releases a full report and a cause of death, which also includes toxicology results. But in this case, police have released this preliminary information that found that Nex didn't die as a result of trauma. And the lieutenant on the case, Nick Boatman, did tell Popular Info that he did this to sort of get ahead of national scrutiny, and that the medical examiner didn't tell him verbatim that Nex didn't die as a result of the fight. And so we're still sort of waiting on those final answers of, you know, what did Nex die from then?
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's, you know, to release a statement saying the death was not the result of trauma, but then to say that the medical examiner said, I'm not saying the kid didn't die because of the fight, that's a really mixed message.
Yeah, and Boatman also told Popular Info that the medical examiner emphasized to him that they were waiting on toxicology results, and that Boatman took that as, quote, a red flag, and thinks that that means something will pop up on the toxicology results. And we're sort of trying to get clarification around why he believes that. We do know that the family's lawyer said in their statement last week that they were independently gathering evidence and interviews themselves, kind of conducting their own independent investigation. It seems like they're definitely troubled by sort of what the investigation has turned over so far.
When we come back, why Nex's death is resonating in the state of Oklahoma.
If you want to understand what is happening in the United States right now, you really need to understand what's happening with the courts, the law, and the Supreme Court. The battle between democracy and whatever this cage match is that we're witnessing, it's going to be won and lost at the ballot box, but it's also going to be won and lost in the courtrooms. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I host Slate's legal podcast, Amicus, and we are doubling our output, bringing you weekly episodes from here on in, because how else can we keep an eye on the many trials of Donald Trump, the conservative legal movement's assaults on our rights, the Supreme Court's latest slate of environmental gutting, gun safety eviscerating cases on the docket? So follow Amicus wherever you get your podcasts, new episodes dropping every Saturday morning.
It seems like at the same time that Nex was coming into his own in terms of gender expression, Oklahoma as a state was really battling politically over gender identity and how to handle it in schools. Can you explain sort of what was happening at the same time that Nex was kind of realizing who they were?
Sure. Yeah. So for context, Oklahoma right now is leading the nation in bills targeting the LGBTQ community. The Republicans in the state have introduced or rolled over from last session 54 bills targeting queer and trans people.
54 bills. What kinds of bills are we talking about?
Oh, they cover a variety of things: transition-related care for minors, quote-unquote religious freedom, basically anything related to schools, LGBTQ topics. That's sort of what these focus on. Last year, three of those became law. There's a law that bars trans or school staff and students from using the school facilities of their gender identities. It requires them to use that of their sex assigned at birth. The state also passed a prohibition on transition-related care for minors, and then a law that bars the state from discriminating against religious entities if they instate anti-LGBTQ policies, for instance, if they don't want to cover like gender-affirming care or birth control or something in their health plans.
So I can see, hearing all of this, how a student like Nex would feel under attack.
Right. And that's what I've heard from queer students generally is, although they do note that it's not necessarily new that Oklahoma has felt unsafe for them the entire time they've been in school because of their queer or trans identity. I specifically spoke to a student, Hallie, though, who told me that in the last 2 years, things have gotten much worse. You know, students will make offensive comments about her and her friends. She's afraid to use the bathroom at school. So it seems like the bills, from what they've told me, are definitely contributing to a worse climate for them in school.
But Joe says it's not just what's happening at the state legislature making things worse. There have also been big changes at the Oklahoma State School Board. First, a former history teacher named Ryan Walters took over as superintendent. Walters has said he doesn't believe trans or non-binary people exist, and he's made it so kids can't change their names or pronouns at school. Then, just a few weeks back, Walters appointed a woman named Chaya Raichik to the state's Library Advisory Committee. Raichik has only been in Oklahoma once, but she's notorious for her Twitter account, Libs of TikTok. She uses it to mercilessly target teachers and school librarians she disagrees with, pushing an anti-queer agenda.
She also has tweeted about hospitals that provide transition-related care to minors. And we actually, NBC News, did an investigation that found 33 instances of when people or institutions that were the subject of posts by Libs of TikTok later reported bomb threats or other violent intimidation. And Raichik has denied that sort of that's connected directly to her, that she's the cause of that. She's also denied any connection to Nex's death and didn't return our request for comment about it.
How has Libs of TikTok interacted with Oklahoma schools specifically?
Libs of TikTok has had a number of interactions with Oklahoma schools. For example, Oklahoma's Union Public Schools was the target of bomb threats for 6 days in August, which began one day after Libs of TikTok posted on August 21st criticizing the elementary school librarian. And the librarian has said online that she emphasized social justice in her teaching. And this has happened in a variety of other instances as well.
So what is Chaya Raichik's purview now in the Oklahoma schools?
Well, what we know is that she holds this position on the library board. It's not really clear how much power she has in that position. But we also know that she has a close enough relationship with Ryan Walters that after she was named to that committee, Walters said that the two of them have a strong working relationship. And I think it was specifically to get rid of, quote, liberal woke values in Oklahoma schools. So, she, you know, she has a really strong direct tie there to the person who is in charge of schools in Oklahoma.
It's been interesting to watch Ryan Walters and Chaya Raichik try to explain in the wake of Nex Benedict's death where they stand. Because both have basically said that Nex's death was tragic and horrible, but that they don't believe in multiple genders. They don't believe in trans rights, essentially. It seems like a hard line to walk right now. Is the community in Oklahoma accepting this sort of careful negotiation they're trying to do?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, everyone I've spoken to in the community here and the LGBTQ plus community specifically has named Libs of TikTok, Raichik and Ryan Walters when they've spoken to me about the culture in Oklahoma and in school specifically. So people are very aware of those connections and definitely sort of look to those people in terms of what they're saying now and what they've sort of been saying and how it affects the experience of young people in schools.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching footage of the Oklahoma State School Board meeting that was held in the wake of Nex Benedict's death. And so many people were speaking so clearly and loudly.
Did I not tell you this was going to happen? Yet here I am again, and I'm sure when I leave, your Chaya Raichik chick will tweet my stuff out again and I'll get more death threats.
Like an Oklahoma City council member blasted the board for hiring Chaya Raichik of Libs of TikTok. They said she had blood on her hands after Nex's death.
You emboldened these three girls yourself. Chaya Raichik emboldened these three girls by being on the library board. It's already difficult to be in high school. It's very difficult to be different. But when somebody's attacked—
And this is, we don't have the full explanation of Nex's death. But it just seemed to me that people were incredibly angry. And it just made me wonder if Nex's story might prompt a change of heart for Oklahoma lawmakers.
Yeah, that's something I'll be interested to see as well, especially as we're heading into an election year, to see sort of whether, because I've seen this happen two ways so far. There are people who say that Nex Benedict's death is a result of what we're seeing in state legislatures, what we're seeing within Oklahoma schools. And then there are people who believe that Nex's death is being exploited, quote unquote, by the left, and that this wasn't a child who identified this way, but that this is an example of how the left is taking advantage of young people to sort of push a specific agenda. And so it will be interesting to see if that is exacerbated in the election year, or if sort of there's a shift, given that this is a child who died, to kind of stop promoting those policies as much.
I know it can be hard in the wake of a tragedy to have a clear idea of what happens next. But for these students you've been spending so much time with, what is it that they're hoping is going to happen in the coming months?
The main thing that students in Owosso have told me that they want is for adults and specifically school employees to listen to them. Because the main thing that I've heard was that if you take a concern to someone within the school, then they will sort of try to undermine it. And they'll ask, did that really happen? Are you sure? Are you just trying to stir the pot? Are you creating drama? Is this based on a rumor? And to the point where the students question how, what they're thinking, whether what they experienced really was truthful, or if, they're overthinking it in their heads. And so I think what they really want is for people to sort of just stop and listen to them and take concerns that they bring to them seriously.
Joe, I'm really grateful for your time and your reporting. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Joe Yerkeba is a reporter for NBC Out. And that's our show. What Next is produced by Paige Osborne, Elena Schwartz, Rob Gunther, Madeline Ducharme, and Anna Phillips. We are led by Alicia Montgomery with a little boost from Susan Matthews. Ben Richmond is the Senior Director of Podcast Operations here at Slate. And I'm Mary Harris. Thanks for listening. Catch you back here next time.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights. Gay rights now! Gay rights! With so much at stake, Young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queens say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.